this is one of those passages in the scriptures and the gospel that can be really hard to listen to, really hard to take. Because in one sense, it's easy for us to kind of put on this, I'm super pious and I'm Catholic and I'm holy and I know what the right answer is supposed to be. So if I ask the question, I'm going to give the right answer. But in reality, it's not fair. It's just purely not fair that I work 12 hours and I get the same pay as someone who only worked 1 hour. They were lazy, doing nothing all day. They came at the final end and then they get the same pay as me. It's not fair. I think if we're honest with ourselves, that we would respond the same way. But we're in this church, this chapel, and we know it's the gospel. And so we know what the right response is supposed to be. So sometimes it's difficult for us to truly give that honest response. But it's not fair. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, oftentimes we come to the things of God with that attitude of, it's not fair. And the reason why he said it's not fair, that first worker, is because he was looking at the others. He was comparing himself to the others. It's not fair. It's not fair that they have a good marriage. It's not fair that her husband goes to Mass every week. It's not fair that their kids are well behaved. It's not fair that they got into that college. It's not fair that I have cancer. It's not fair that. Fill in the blank. How often do we bring that prayer to God? It's not fair. Because he was comparing himself. He was bringing a natural sense of justice to the conversation. And as disciples, as followers of Christ, we have to put on the mind of Christ. We have to live with this eternal perspective, with our mind on Christ, our mind in heaven. Not forgetting this world in the sense that I'm just aloof and don't care. But I attempt to bring and to live within gospel principles in my daily interactions, in my daily affairs, and not be stuck in this calculus, this algebra equation of making sure everything is even. This is why there's so many problems in the streets today. This unnatural but very earthly desire for justice and getting what's fair. Isaiah tells us in the first reading that the ways and the thoughts of God are so far above ours that if we try to make God make sense to us, it won't. But this isn't simply a just leave my rational mind behind and just think that God is God and I will never understand him. What he's saying about the ways and thoughts of God being so far above ours, it's in relation to what he said before. Let the scoundrel forsake his way and the wicked his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord for mercy, who is generous in forgiving. This is the mindset of God. This generosity of God in his mercy and his desire to forgive. And that's the lens through which we read the gospel. And that's the reason why he told this passage, this parable about the kingdom. It's because these Jews, the members of the chosen people, the member of the covenant, who had gone to work the first hour, who had received that covenantal promise. And now, here comes Jesus preaching the good news to everyone, eating with tax collectors and sinners, having these women who've been cured from all these evil demons surround him and support him and work with him. Who does he think he is? How dare you cheat me? I've been faithful all these years, and they get the same reward as me? It's not fair. It's not fair. Maybe some of us in the church in Mass this morning have been faithful since day one. From our baptism to this day, whether it's been 10 years or 110 years. And then someone new comes, a convert, living a horrible scoundrel life, a wicked life. And they get to receive the same Eucharist as me. They go to confession and hear the same words of absolution as I do. That's not fair. We bring this calculus to our faith and we miss the point. Because the Jews who've been faithful, who were members, who were workers from the very first, what was the covenant promise? What did God promise them? Not reward in the sense of physical things of pay, but I will be your God and you will be my people. He promised them a relationship. Do we believe that? In our response of faith to the invitation to the gospel, are we looking for a relationship with our Father in heaven, or are we looking for a blessing, looking for some positive gain in my life? Is the relationship with the Father enough for me? Because this is what the gospel passage is all about. And this is what our life of discipleship is all about, is entering into that, I will be your God and you will be my people. Because life is not fair. No one needs you to tell you that. But it's not supposed to be. Because with Jesus, you have everything that you would ever need. And this is the eternal perspective. This is the mind of God that St. Paul encourages us to put on. We begin reading today from sections from Philippians, his letter to the Philippians, where in that letter he says, put on the mind of Christ. And this is our goal. This is why we come to Mass. This is why we go to confession. This is why we receive the Holy Eucharist. This is why we do acts of charity to our neighbor. It's so that we can put on the mind of Christ. That as we get closer to him and the tangible things of our faith, that we begin to change. And no longer look at our neighbor, at our fellow worker as competition. As someone to compare ourselves to. Because we know that comparison is the thief of joy. Like Pope Francis says, why do we have so many sour-faced Christians? Why do we? The King of the world, the God of all universe, comes to us present every time we come to Mass. And what St. Paul will say later at the end of chapter 4 is that my God will fully supply for all of your needs. If all of my needs are being met, why do I care what you have? I should want to make sure you have more than enough and not base my happiness on what you have. Because in the end, we all have the same thing. God can only give himself. And he can only give himself in the fullness. Let's pray for that grace. To have that eternal perspective. To put on the mind of Christ. So that like St. Paul says, that the Christ will be magnified in my body, whether I live or whether I die. St. Paul, who came to the vineyard late in life, who was a late convert, who was writing from prison because he had been preaching the name of Jesus. And he gets to the point in his life where he says, I don't care. You can do nothing to me. Kill me. Let me live. It doesn't matter. Because if you kill me, I'm going to see Jesus. If you let me live, I'm going to convert more Christians. I win either way. For to me, life is Christ and death is gain. Let's pray for that mindset. Let's pray to put on the mind of Christ. Amen.